that whole set of the next 10 years, I ended up taking what I'd learned through that role, that opportunity, where they taught me tons about marketing, tons about sales. And I ended up using a lot of those skills, even though the role was a terrible fit and the company was not a great fit for me. I did get many things that were very positive, and I wouldn't have changed that experience for anything, because it led to so much of what came after.
You are a driven international professional or manager, have achieved quite a bit already, but are asking yourself from time to time, what do I really want? How do I want to work and live? Then this is your podcast. I'm Gina Friedrich, career and life coach for people who want to actively shape their future. Every second Thursday, I release interviews for you with inspiring, successful, as well as renowned international personalities from the world of business, NGO, and sports. They all will share with you what these questions mean to them, how they handled obstacles in their lives, and shaped their journey to where they are today. You are curious and don't want to miss anything? Sign up for this podcast right here. And now, let yourself be inspired on your very personal journey towards the future that you wish for. Hey and hello, and thanks for tuning in. This is episode 51 with Scott Anthony Barlow, career change podcast host, author, keynote speaker, career happiness and self-development nerd with his own company. You might know him through features on CNBC, The Fast Company magazine, or The Huffington Post. You'll hear how a lot of who he is today was shaped by his experiences. Looking at the early stage of his career, Scott was using an upcoming job opportunity when he realized that this cannot be how work life is. He shares how he felt, how he talked to his manager and then got fired, and continued his professional journey to find the perfect fit that made him feel happy. It took him 10 years. He takes us to the situation in which he decided to start an own company in order to share what he has learned with other people, and at the same time declining the position of a vice president with his current employer. We also talk about the value in accessing your inner compass to explore your perfect career profile, which allows you to make upcoming decisions with a feeling of inner security. So get ready for some inspiring insights. Here he is. Scott, welcome, and thank you for spending some of your time with me today.
Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, and actually, you're not just spending the time with me. You're actually spending it with a couple of listeners who hopefully will be able to get some interesting insights into your life, your path, and how you have shaped it. So I'm super glad that you're here, and I'm just wondering if there was something that made you smile today already.
Oh, something that made me smile. Actually, it made me smile just chatting with you before we pressed the record button and being able to hear a little bit about your experiences in both Japan and Germany. That's already made me smile. And it's also pretty early. Yeah, absolutely. So I'm just happy I got to smile, because I didn't wake up very long ago. It's about 6 a.m. here.
True. It's super early where you are. So thank you for sharing that smile with me. I have red cheeks now, but you don't see that. That's fine. I might even cut that out. Let's see. So if you are ready to start, we could start with the official part.
Absolutely.
Cool. So tell me, who is Scott Anthony Barlow?
Oh my goodness, you start with the big questions, huh? Who am I? Well, I have to tell you that a lot of who I am has been shaped through my experiences. And I think that's normal for everyone. But for me, a really big part of who I am and why I choose to live the way that I do now, and the type of company that I began 8 years ago, comes a lot from my experiences, you know, 15 and 20 years ago, quite frankly, when I got out of school. You know, I ended up getting out of university. And then from that point on, I realized, as I got into my very first role, which so many of my family and friends had told me that I was lucky to have, because I had a job offer for coming straight out of university and moving into the workforce. And I got to be honest with you, the only reason that I accepted it was not because I was in love with the role or the company or anything else, but it was because it was there, it was in front of me, and it was available. And all of those family and friends were saying, oh, hey, this is an amazing opportunity. You're going to be, you know, managing, you know, 15 people out of school and all of these other things. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I ended up moving my brand new wife, Alyssa, at the time, down to Portland, Oregon, in the U.S. And then we started our life together. And I found very quickly that I was working 70 to 90 hour weeks on a regular basis. I was commuting about 3 hours a day on top of it. And I was not enjoying a whole bunch of the work that I was doing. And okay. it was that experience that shaped a whole bunch of what came afterwards. Because for me personally, I realized somewhere along the way that as I was into my first year of that role, that it's like, you know what, this can't be how life is. This cannot be how work is. And I actually remember at one point as I was sitting in traffic and we were stopped for some inexplicable reason, and I was watching the bikers ride by at so much faster than all of the cars, I started looking around at all the other faces in the other cars, and like nobody looked happy. And I had this sort of realization, it's like, there has to be a better way to do this. This is absolutely ridiculous. So I ended up deciding, okay, I'm going to get up the courage and I'm going to go talk to my boss about it. And so I did, and ended up, you know, having about an hour long conversation where I shared with him that I thought, hey, maybe I made a mistake, and maybe I shouldn't have taken this role, and maybe it's not a great fit.
And may I just quickly jump in? Sorry.
So yeah,
you're really going, like, you're already doing the deep dive. So I would like to use the chance to quickly ask, I mean, like, you experienced, or you had this moment realizing that this somehow cannot be it. That probably was not easy for yourself as well, right? Accepting that and even telling yourself that this might not be the right path. How did you deal with that moment of realizing that?
It was scary, to put it mildly. The reason it was so scary for me personally is I thought, as I went through university and as I'd worked since I was 16 and actually enjoyed a fair amount of the miscellaneous jobs that I had when I was 16 to probably, you know, 20, 22 years old or so. And I thought that when I got into the workforce and when I started my career, professional career, that it was going to be an extension of that. It was going to get better, not crazy worse. So for me, that moment where all the traffic was stopped and I'm looking around at everybody, it was crushing, because I realized that, oh my goodness, there might not be any hope for this. So that was really scary. And I decided that I couldn't live with that and that I had to do something. And the only thing I could think to do was go and talk to my boss.
Yeah, which is, I mean, a very proactive approach, and probably also was not the easiest step, because I don't know if at that time you already knew what that meant. So what the next step would actually be. But yeah, you decided to talk to him, and now continue with the story that I interrupted. Sorry.
No worries at all. And it was, for me, it was absolutely scary, because at the time I was, you know, 22 years old, didn't have tons of professional experience. And so I had called him up previously and said, hey, you know, I have something important I'd like to chat with you about, and then proceeded to have the conversation. And although I would never recommend having the conversation the way that I did, it ended up feeling good in the moment, you know, towards the end of it, because he said that he understood, he asked a lot of questions, he tried to listen. And then, you know, we got done, we got off the call, and we didn't necessarily have any plan changes, but it felt better just to have it all out. And I had told him, hey, I think I had made a mistake. And apparently he thought the same way, because 3 weeks later he fired me.
Oh,
so that which is was a... not what I...
Yeah, a nice response to being transparent and sharing your thoughts. Okay, but that then probably was the moment where you turned things around, took the next step that probably was taking you more towards where you wanted to go.
It was definitely a moment for me in a variety of different ways. It was something I'll never forget. I don't think I'll ever forget it anyways. I remember, because he came down, he lived in a different state and worked in a different state. So he came down and had said, hey, I want you to gather together all of your people for a training today. So I gathered together all the people that reported to me and we had a training. And it turns out that unfortunately, the training was a bit of a he did do a training. However, the pretext was that I was going to get laid off, get fired, and I was going to make an announcement to my team. And he gave me a choice, said that, hey, you can walk out of here now and essentially get paid for the remainder of 2 weeks, or you can go and talk to your team and you can get a bunch of severance. So that kind of crushing choice in the first place, after I had tried to be so transparent, maybe not in the most helpful way, but I'd tried to be very transparent with them, was soul crushing, to put it mildly. So I ended up, being beet red, holding back tears in the front of the room, trying to tell them that I was leaving the organization, and unsuccessfully trying to do that very well. And I ended up, the next thing I remember after that, because I don't remember anything that was said up front, but I remember driving home in the rain in Portland, Oregon, and trying to think about how I was going to tell my wife, because I'd moved her down to Portland and away from all of her family. And, I didn't even have a job to show for it. And it was at that point in time where I realized that I could never, ever, ever do work like this again. Instead, I wanted to figure out how to do work differently and how to do life differently, and how to really take reins of what was going to make me much happier more often, or what was going to allow me to do work that actually fit, because this role didn't, and it was incredibly stressful and it was incredibly unhealthy. I gained 50 pounds during that time. And it was all the things that work is not supposed to be in many different ways. And I swore at that point that I could never do it that way again. So the next 10 years really became a quest for me to figure out, how on earth do I do this differently?
Yeah, but how amazing and how impressive, to be honest. I mean, you were so young, being so reflected and just like taking over and starting that journey in that age. I think this is really, very impressive, just to jump in again.
Well, thank you. It was definitely one of those defining moments for me personally. I think everyone has them in one way or another. However, that whole set of the next 10 years, I ended up taking what I'd learned through that role, that opportunity, where they taught me tons about marketing, tons about sales. And I ended up using a lot of those skills, even though the role was a terrible fit and the company was not a great fit for me. I did get many things that were very positive, and I wouldn't have changed that experience for anything, because it led to so much of what came after. And I'm just very thankful that it ended up happening to me so early on, because many years later, when I decided I was going to create a new business and start helping people with coaching, which was something that I'd done professionally for executives and for the organizations that I had worked in, mm-hmm. and also done quite a bit of HR leadership as well, then I had decided that I wanted to be able to help people that were going through it in all stages of their life, because not everyone was so fortunate as I was to have that happen straight out of university. For me, it was really important to take what I had learned over that previous 10 years about how to go and get what were dream jobs for me at the time, and the process that I'd created for myself, I wanted to be able to share that with other people. And it was so interesting, because I didn't just go to start a company. I knew that I wanted to transition away from much of the work that I'd been doing, primarily because I had another moment with my wife. We were actually being courted by the organization that I'd worked with, and I was being groomed to move into the VP type role. And that was amazing. They were such a wonderful organization to work for, and I had so many great experiences working with them. And that was definitely a whole set of dream jobs in itself. And We ended up going to Omaha, Nebraska, where the organization is based out of. And, you know, they took us to NCAA basketball games, and, you know, we got to meet a lot of the presidents and all kinds of things like that. It was a wonderful trip. And we came back from that trip at some point and realized, as we were talking about it, we were talking about, like, would we build, would we buy a house? Like, what, how is all that going to get? And we were deep into, you know, how this transition was going to be made. And at some point we looked at each other across the island in our kitchen at the time and kind of had this moment where we're like, hold on, why are we doing this? Why are we going to move to Omaha, Nebraska? Is it for more money? Is it for the title? Like, why are we going to do this? Because neither of us really wants to be in Omaha, Nebraska. We want to be here in Moses Lake, Washington, with our family and our friends and, you know, many of the other pieces that we want out of life. And so why are we doing this? And it was kind of this really scary moment, because we had been building for many years to make this type of move. And this was the goal the entire time. So that is one of the moments that ended up leading to me saying, okay, well, if not this, if not moving to Omaha, Nebraska, or if not taking the VP track with an organization that I have had a great experience with and respect, what am I going to do? And ended up having another one of those big defining moments to realize that I wanted to own my own business. And this would be actually a second business for me. I had one when I was in college, and then I wanted to go back to that type of experience. And I realized at that point in time that people were already coming to me and they were already asking, you know, how did you make career transitions from operations into HR leadership? How did you get a $40,000 raise? Like, how did you do all these things? And so it was at that moment too, where I realized that, wow, you know, people are already asking these things. People are already even offering to pay. They were sending thank you notes and gift cards and saying, hey, can I pay you for this? And I just hadn't thought about it in a way to where, well, this is something that people need and want, and this could actually be the business. So it was at that point in time where I ended up forming Happen to Your Career, and that was about 8 years ago.
Wow. I mean, first of all, getting such an offer and then declining, that's like, I mean, I can imagine that this is not an easy decision, or that it actually wasn't an easy decision. But still, you did it because you were able to take the step back to really reflect on, yeah, as you've just described, what for and what is actually driving you, and that this in the end was not the right move. And now you've just shared with us that you have founded your own company. Was there any moment that you still felt kind of a bit of doubt or insecurity deciding to really start your own business?
There's been lots of moments. Oh, I don't think I can count the moments of doubt and insecurity. And I think that's true for anything. One of the things that I've learned jumping to today for just a second here is that anytime that you are doing something that really is authentic to you, there are going to be many, many moments of doubt and insecurities. And what I've learned in working with lots of people at this point, you know, it's 8 years later and, you know, I'm 20 years into my career at this point. Overall, every single person that I've ever worked with that has become successful by their own standards of success has gone through those many moments of doubt and insecurity and, can I do this? And is this the right thing to do? Like, is this worth it? All of those questions enter people's mind. It's a question of when, not if, you're going to experience those moments. And what I've found is that those never really go away entirely. Instead, what happens is you get more skilled at moving through towards what you want to be doing, or the life that you want to be living, or the career that you want to have, even though those moments are popping up. You just get better at moving through it.
Mm-hmm. But how you actually turn around such a moment that you actually gain this drive through, or realize that this is something that actually brings you forward and that should not hold you back?
That's a great question. So if I think that's a really insightful question. And I think what I'm understanding from that is, yeah, how do you sort of tell that this is, that you should keep going forward versus that you should give up in one way or another? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah. So, I mean, there's this moment and some people just step away from it or just like, I don't know, maybe stop doing whatever it is that they're doing. So, but you kind of made it, and you've just mentioned there were many, many moments of doubt. You made it through them and you turned these moments around into something that maybe even, yeah, energized you, or at least you got over it. So what is your recipe to get over these phases or these moments of doubt?
Well, I do wish it was as simple as a recipe. My daughter, who is 12 now, is getting really into baking. And so she is she is making her own recipes. And I wish this was anywhere as close to as simple. But I will give you some of the pieces that I have found that work for me and work for many of the people that we've worked with that are trying to live much more authentic lives and trying to make sure that their work is connected to what matters to them and what is much more meaningful to them, because that's where many of those moments get introduced. That's where they end up having to have, you know, difficult conversations with their boss or coworkers or spouse or partner or any number of other things. That's where they have to have those types of declarative situations where they keep going versus saying, you know what, I'm going to back away from this. So one of the things I think that is hugely helpful for me is to keep in mind that there's always a way. There's always a way to work through it. I know that sounds a little bit ridiculous, but being able to know and understand and have seeing that if I can get creative enough in one way or another, then there's always a way to work through it. So even if it might feel whatever it is, hopeless in the moment, mm-hmm. then there's always going to be a way to work through it. You know, I actually ended up having, before I was in Omaha, Nebraska, I ended up getting a different job offer from my boss. He'd wanted me to move to a place where I would be commuting about an hour and 15 minutes mm-hmm. each way per day. And I had pretty well had enough of commuting after after my initial experience, you know, commuting 3 hours a day in Portland, Oregon, way back when. So I had to have a lot of really difficult conversations with him because he really wanted me to go to this other role, and he had already built plans around it and all kinds of things like that. There was a lot of things already in motion. And so that was something that was really, really difficult, and I didn't know what I was going to do. And it would have been, honestly, it would have been far, far easier just to accept that. I had, if you think about all the things, like it would have meant a hit pretty big pay raise. I would have gotten to work with some pretty great people in that new role. It made my boss happy. All these other things would have been pretty amazing. And it was far, far more difficult to say, hey, I know that this is a great opportunity in many different ways, but I cannot spend that extra time on the road, and I don't feel good about that. So for me, one of the things that helps, actually I'll give you a couple of different things that help too, but for me, going back to what is most important to me, or anyone for that matter, and defining that. So when we work with people behind the scenes that happen to your career, we help them create what we call an ideal career profile. And we call it an ideal career profile, but really, if we get down to the core of it, it is, you can think about it almost as like a checklist for what I need and what I want as it relates to not just my career, but how my career interacts with my life.
I'm actually just smiling because I also work on this. I always call it an inner compass, like accessing that, being aware of that and understanding what it really is that is driving you to reflect on core values and strength, and to actually really see what are the associated needs and what actually is the source of energy in my life, which combines both, right? The career world and the personal life. So yeah, that's something that sounds very familiar.
Yeah, no, that is fantastic. And what it sounds like you're referring to that you call an inner compass, I think in many ways sounds somewhat similar to one of the pieces of what we call the ideal career profile. And I think the advantage to having done that work, the type of work where you're declaring what it is that you want and you need and what is driving you and what are the pieces that make a work situation and a work opportunity great for you, not just good, but amazing for you. And if you haven't decided that in advance, then when you get to that point in time where, and we've seen this at this point thousands of times with the people that we've worked with, when you get to that point later on where it gets really hard or you are having opportunities that are right in front of you that maybe aren't the best fit, it's pretty emotional. And when it's pretty emotional, it's pretty difficult to sort through. That is the worst possible time to try and sort through what is really going to be great for you and amazing for you. And if you've already made some of those decisions in advance about what makes an amazing opportunity for you, it is far, far less difficult to go back to like your ideal career profile or inner compass or any of that work, that upfront work that is deciding in advance on purpose, on paper sometimes, what is ideal for you. So for me, back in that situation, I had to go back and look and see, you know what? I did actually decide on purpose. I'm never going to do this commute again. Oh, crap. I guess I have to have a really uncomfortable conversation or a series of uncomfortable conversations with my boss. I now remember why I did this. Okay. But it would have been so much easier when I was caught up in all the emotion and, you know, they're being very complimentary and everything else. And I could have put myself in a bad situation because of all that emotion that was happening at that time.
But on the other hand, it sometimes actually is such a moment where people start asking themselves these questions, right? So of course, the ideal situation would be to have clarity on all that before, but still, at least in my practice, I see that many, many people in such a decision phase or in a moment where it is about a change in jobs or the next career move, that these questions get louder and louder and that people start listening more and more. And so just to add to this, that reality sometimes doesn't look so perfect and ideal, right? So
absolutely. And I think also that if you have had a bit of that experience, like say that you had, and we see this all the time with our clients and our students, where they maybe have made a couple of different changes and they thought that by changing to a new industry, or they thought by, you know, changing to a slightly different role or just changing companies, that was going to provide the answer to their problems. And then they get over to the new organization and 3 months passes or 6 months passes and the honeymoon period wears off. All that excitement, initial excitement wears off. And then they've realized, oh my goodness, it's the same situation. Only there's new different faces. I've got a different business card. And how did I do this again? Mm-hmm. And that, if you've gone through that once or twice, then that's where often people start to look for a different solution in one way or another. And that's where I think people start to have the realization that choosing work and choosing how you're going to spend your time as it relates to work is far more complex than just choosing a occupation or just choosing a company. There are so many different variables that make up what creates meaningful or purposeful or really, you know, great or ideal work for someone, that it is difficult to sort through them on your own. It just is. And the unfortunate thing, and one of the reasons why I get really excited about this through our organization and being able to, you know, spread this type of message, is because there is actually really great research out there at this point. In the last 30, 35 years, in particular, there has been quite a bit of research and studies that have been done to the point where we now understand, not all, but a lot of what creates very compelling, much more fulfilling work for any of us. And some of those things we need to be doing or need to have just as human beings. So a couple examples, you know, if we are working, if we're spending more time in our day working in our strengths, particularly what we call signature strengths that happen to your career, then there's a pretty profound impact on your quality of life. So just quick bit of research on that. Gallup has done some...
It's three times higher, right? If you're able to leverage your core strength in your day-to-day life, be it professionally or personally.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. And now here's the crazy part about it. Just as little as spending just 1 to 2 more hours per day working in your strengths can give that pretty significant boost. So we're not talking like massive differences, but changing to a role or a company or an opportunity that, or even retooling your existing opportunity to spend more time working in your strengths leads to quite a bit of differences. Things where if I were to ask you any given time during the day, hey, are you feeling happier? Mm-hmm. Then you're more frequently going to say yes if you're spending just that one more hour working in your strengths. Or if I followed you around and assessed your productivity prior versus after you're working that one more hour in your strengths, you're going to actually be more productive, or you're statistically much more likely to be more productive. And there's even some, the crazy thing is there's even some very loose links. I would not say this is conclusive research at all, but there's some loose links to people who are working in their strengths are less likely to have instances of things like heart disease, which is crazy. So there's some pretty profound things and keys that we all must have just because we are human beings. And then part of the reason it gets further complicated is because some things we need to decide for ourselves. So for example, we all as human beings need to be helping others. I can't tell you the number of people that have come to the realization that, hey, I really need to be helping other people. And that is actually a basic human need. And the crazy thing about it is that if you think about really any job on the planet, in one way or another, it is helping humans. So that is a bit of that's confusing, right? The part that is variable, the part that is unique to the individual, and the thing that they don't tell you when you're in school or in university, is that even though you need to be helping people, how you're helping people and how you get a higher degree of meaning, joy, contribution, fulfillment is very dependent on, can you directly see and connect that how you're helping others, which means that it changes on a per person basis. Some people want to be helping one-on-one where they can actually see a change right away in one way or another. Other people really get a high level of fulfillment when they are helping from a like mentorship capacity or a leadership capacity, or even if you're helping in a state or community type capacity. There's so many different ways that you can be helping others, and it drastically changes from a person to person basis what is meaningful and fulfilling for you.
Yeah. And actually, I mean, it's an active process, right? So you have to ask yourself these questions, and then you are the one, as you've already said, who is taking the decision on whatever that means. But I just had a thought. Oh my God, there's so much happening in my head right now. Just listen.
Oh yeah.
I'm sad we only have scheduled an hour. But what did I want to say? Yeah. And one thing also is that it not necessarily means that there needs to be a huge change, right? It's also worth looking at, where can I do more of what actually is this, like, is giving energy to me, or is actually creating this feeling, which also can happen in the time that is, yeah, like the private time, not the time at work. I was just thinking of an example of one of my clients who actually came and said, like, hey, he's working in the banking industry. He's like, I'm not happy here in this role, and I think I need to change. I need to leave this bank. I'm also actually, I'm a certified Clifton Strength coach as well. So maybe that's also why I can resonate to a lot of what you say, because I experience it almost every day. And also the impact it has on people when they actually start dealing with these questions and being aware and acknowledging all these things. So this guy said that he needs to change, and by working through his core strength and helping him understand the value in it, the result was that he just transparently played that with his manager. So she decided to put him on a project 50% of his time, and he's super happy now. I mean, as you've just said, it's 50% of his time, but this half day working on a project that really, really caters his needs and what is driving him made a huge difference. So he's not even considering now leaving the company anymore. So yeah, it's really worth spending some time on that and trying to figure out what actually lies behind, what is the key internal driver. So yeah, I think I can agree to everything that you've just said. And I was also thinking, because I mean, of course, some people know or feel, let's call it feel, that it's time for a change or that something does not feel right anymore. And still there's something holding them back. So like constraining beliefs or blockages that are sometimes even based on external factors, right? Like, how can I now not feel happy? Like you've also just said, you had an amazing job offer, and why did you not just be happy with what you have? And what is society saying? What are friends and family saying? What would you say from your experience is the most common inner blockage that stops people from actively shaping and actually going their individual path?
We see 4 to 5 that pop up again and again and again. And there's many more than that. However, those are some of the most common. I'm trying to think which one of those is most common. Well, I don't know if this is or not. However, I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. One of the fundamental ideas that comes up in almost every conversation that we have with people behind the scenes, often people will listen to our podcast, the Happen to Your Career podcast, and they will email us and say, hey, I'd love to figure out what help might look like for me. And we get into a conversation with them. And during those conversations, we'll be talking for, 30 or 40 minutes. And then someplace along the conversation, it's almost like everything slows down or stops. And everybody starts to fumble with this question that they're trying to ask. And that question is almost always along the lines of, yeah, but do you think it's realistic for me to continue to get paid at what I'm used to getting paid and shift into a role or shift into a new organization and an opportunity that creates is much more meaningful for me? And so that question comes up in a lot of different ways, and that's not exactly how it's asked, but there's almost always that time in that conversation. And it is interesting partially because there's this underlying belief for many people that we cannot have or do work that is fulfilling, is meaningful, where we are contributing and get paid incredibly well for it. And I've seen very much the exact opposite again and again and again. And that in many different ways has become a big portion of how we're helping people through Happen to Your Career in our business, because there is that underlying belief. That belief has a tendency to come from how people are raised, what they see in society, the fact that they haven't experienced it themselves. Often we'll be talking to people that have flown up through the ranks and, had promotions and pay raises have come along with it, and they get used to a certain type of lifestyle. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. The challenge and the reason why often they're stuck is they can't imagine that there could be a situation where they could have both. Continuing that lifestyle and also, and many of the things that they need, like if they have a family, or they're saving for kids' college, or they've built a life around what they're accustomed to making from a monetary basis, but they can't imagine that it could go with what they really actually believe they want. So since they can't see that together, they struggle to take action on it. And there's a very simple reason behind that. If you think something is impossible, are you going to try very hard to make that happen? Probably not, right? So that is one of the most, it's one of the most common, but for me personally, it's one of the most interesting blockages that I see that stems from beliefs, and it stems from what we call the exposure problem that happened to your career, which is having exposure to the fact that this is possible. And actually, that's one of the reasons why I started the Happen to Your Career podcast. And one of the reasons why I think you're doing such great work here is because podcasts are a great way to expose people to not just new ideas, but that something is possible for them. And we share success stories from, not necessarily always, authors or people that are semi-famous or well-known, but we share a ton. About 70% of the people that we have on our podcast are people that we have worked with that have gone through and made their own success story and done that. Regular people that are in everyday type roles that have done this for themselves and made it through. And we ask them on to talk about their stories, because we want to expose people to the real idea that this is possible and can be possible for you. So I think that's probably the biggest, now that I'm saying that. I might just be landing on that, because there really are about five different things that we see pop up again and again. And there's about nine that are even more common that that we teach and that we look for as coaches on our team. But yeah, I'm curious, what do you see?
No, it's actually what you've just described, like this constraining belief of thinking that this is anyway is not going to happen, or this is not possible. And the other thing is really like, I'm not allowed to. Like, how can I really not be happy with what I have? I mean, I have a great salary, I have an amazing car, I have a big house or whatever, and kind of feeling like others are judging, or feeling like I should be satisfied and I'm not allowed to. And another thing also is like, am I really good enough? Am I really able to to take that step? So thanks a lot for sharing that. And I'm just wondering, because you've mentioned the word success now a couple of times also earlier when we were talking about your path, and this is something that even might have changed throughout your career and life, but how do you define success today?
That's a great question. And I'm thinking about it, because I have been asked that question a lot. However, it is continually evolving. So for me, what success looks like today is far more about contribution and impact than if you would have asked me 15 years ago. And what I mean by that is, something that drives me quite a bit is being able to be a great role model for my kids, in showing them that they can do work and live lives that are not settling in one way or another, and not selling themselves short, but instead focusing on how they want to have an impact and how they want to live with purpose. So I feel very strong pull, since I've had children, to, for me, what success looks like today is far more about contribution and impact than if you would have asked me 15 years ago. And what I mean by that is, something that drives me quite a bit is being able to be a great role model for my kids, in showing them that they can do work and live lives that are not settling in one way or another, and not selling themselves short, but instead focusing on how they want to have an impact and how they want to live with purpose. So I feel very strong pull, since I've had children, to live that, because they are, I feel like they're going to see right through it if I'm doing anything different, and I don't want to be a hypocrite in many different ways. So that is, as crazy as it sounds, one of the big things that drives me and helps me through some of the hard times too. Another piece of success for me on the contribution side and the impact side is I firmly want to change the way the world looks at work and how the world works, so that we are having many, many more people and really having everybody get the opportunity to do work that fits them, fits their strengths, allows them to uniquely contribute, aligns organizations and roles with with people that are filling them so much better. Because I think that there's so much waste in the work world, waste that filters through in lack of productivity, waste that filters through with all the trepidation of people in roles that are highly, highly stressful, that just are not a great fit. I see so many byproducts of that. And I want to be a part of that. So success for me is being able to live my life in a way that I want to, while also having a profound impact on that mission. And that is something that changes. I'm constantly fine-tuning what both of those sides look like for me and the impact that I want to make. And that is, I anticipate that will continue to change as well. And like I said, it was definitely different than, you know, 10, 15 years ago. However, now it is, how can I live the life that I want to in all areas of life while having that profound impact? And that's a continuous challenge for me to figure out how to do that.
But you are on your journey with everything that I see. You're exactly where you belong. Thank you so much for taking all of us through that journey, professionally and also personally, that you went through and gave us some insights into. For me, to be honest, here on mine, I took a lot of notes and I would have tons of questions. So maybe there will be another chance for me one day to speak with you again.
Absolutely. My pleasure. And I would be thrilled to have another conversation. And I think you make such a great point too about asking those types of questions. And one great resource, if you want to begin asking yourself these types of questions to really learn about what matters more and matters most to you, and essentially create your own ideal career profile, like we've been talking about, we have a great resource that helps you get started in just thinking about it different. And that is at figureitout.co. That's figureitout.co.
So, amazing. I will add that to the show notes so that everyone who wants can actually just with a simple click access that. Thanks a lot also for sharing that. I think this is also very valuable. Scott, thanks a lot. Warm regards to your wife. And looking forward to speaking to you again soon.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate it.
Have you used upcoming career opportunities so far and arrived where you are right now rather coincidentally? And would you like to explore your choices and shape your own future actively? Let us find out how I could support you on your individual path as a career and strength coach in Düsseldorf or online. Get in touch for a free initial consultation via coaching@gina-friedrich.com. I'm looking forward to your email. Thank you for listening and have a happy day ahead.